Welcome to the Hello Show. I'm Dave Lawrence.
I'm David Kendall.
Sound like you're clicking.
Yeah, I'm clicking. Can you hear that?
Yeah. Yep.
It was all over the last show. I need a quieter mouse.
Seriously?
Yeah. Why is it that the company that popularized the mouse is so useless at making them?
I know. Yeah, the crappy mice. My Magic Mouse rollerball works once in a while, kind of when it feels like it. And I tried doing the cleaning thing, you know, where you put alcohol on there and you scrub it. But that doesn't matter. It's very finicky. Maybe now that it's summer, though, it's behaving a little bit more.
Mm. Can you hit now?
Yep.
All right.
You need a soundproof hand shield or something.
Yeah. You just have to put up with the clicking noise. So, yeah. How have you been?
I've been good. God, it's a beautiful summer day here. I've been mowing my lawn, and the sunshine is out. And, you know, summer to me means the sound of lawnmowers and mourning doves.
This morning I went to pick up a prescription, and I literally had to change trousers. They were so soaking wet.
Not figuratively, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I say literally?
Sorry. I said literally.
I know you hate that. No. Literally.
But they were
literally soaking wet.
Right.
But I wasn't I wasn't literally glued to my seat.
You could have just said my pants were soaking wet and I would have believed you. You're English. You're supposed to know these things better than me.
Yeah, I should.
Shame on you. Mm. But yeah, summertime, you know, I've got a nice garden growing and some of my vegetables are starting to appear and I don't know.
There's kind of a rivulet of blue light in the sky, but it's just gray clouds for miles.
Mm. It's been like that the past 2 weeks or so here. It's been cool and rainy, so it's been miserable. You guys get a lot of sun in the summer?
Until about 3 or 4 years ago, yeah. 3 or 4 years ago, we had massive rain and floods and everything all over the country. Mm-hmm. And it's not quite recovered since, the whole notion of summer in England.
No kidding.
So this year's been, this year so far, not been bad though.
Right. When did you first find out about Wikipedia? What was your first experience with Wikipedia?
I'm going to say 2004. It was before it became. We're kind of in a second period of vaguely reliable Wikipedia here. When I'd first discovered it, it was 2004, and although they still hadn't got the whole thing where they do citations and things like that, they still hadn't got that fully worked out and rolled out. You know, it was before most idiots who are just going to come and put a load of crap on had even discovered it. So it was vaguely reliable.
Hmm.
And then in the middle, there was this period where, you know, I wouldn't even trust anything on it. And then recently, with more articles getting citations and things like that, it's got better.
Right. I never went through that period where I didn't trust it, because a lot of the stuff I looked up was, I mean, it's either right or it isn't right, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm always curious to see how people discover things like, I don't know, all the big sites like Wikipedia and YouTube and things like that. Mine was...
I can't remember when I discovered YouTube.
Really?
Yeah.
My discovery period with YouTube was around music videos. Somebody sent me a music video of a band I really liked, and it was on YouTube. And then I did a search, and I found everything else, every other band's video on there. And that's when I fell in love with it. And in fact, I uploaded one of the first instances of the 1984 commercial from Apple.
Oh, right.
Yep. If you look back, and if you look at the view count on it, it's huge. It's just massive.
Mm.
So, but my Wikipedia experience, I looked up something about Star Wars, and then that's when I discovered the down the rabbit hole experience of Wikipedia, where, you know, you found out everything you could ever know about Star Wars, and it just led to more and more information. And I spent like an entire morning at work just reading and reading and clicking and reading, and man. So I have to be really careful with both YouTube and Wikipedia, because I can do the same thing with YouTube, just get lost in it.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I know the first Wikipedia article I read, actually, was the Wikipedia article on what a wiki is.
That's self-referential.
Yeah. Before I even read the main page, somebody linked me to that as an explanation for, I think I was looking at some wiki software that one of my friends had written, and they linked me to the Wikipedia page about wikis.
Hmm.
I've no recollection of how I discovered YouTube.
Right. Mine was, I wanted to discover what Emperor Palpatine's former Sith, you know, apprentices were. Like, who else besides Darth Vader and Darth Maul were his apprentices? And so, and then I woke up 4 hours later, and it was time for lunch. So, you can get lost in it. So, have you seen this this new Mac app bundle that...
No.
That was
this. There's another
new sponsor for During Fireball. It's it's got some pretty cool stuff on it. It's called the Freelance Mac App Bundle.
Yeah, that, looking. Ah, App Store Freelance Mac App Bundle.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. I mean, you've got some big stuff in there, like 1Password, Billings, Text Expander.
You see, these are all apps which I've kind of looked into and then decided I didn't need. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I was just curious. The ones I would be interested in are Text Expander and 1Password, just because I've heard so many good things about them. For my freelance work, I use Billings, and I love Billings. It's a wonderful application. An internet radio player, that Radium, I wonder how it's different from YouTube or iTunes, you know, internet radio feature, because I use that all the time.
Really? I hardly ever use it now. There was a period where I kind of went through this period of listening to it, but not so much now.
Right. Well, if I want to listen to Cajun music, that's the only place I can find it. Or something equally weird. Or just jazz stuff. Like, I'm not a big jazz listener, but sometimes
my favorite, I always used to listen to CBC jazz.
Mm-hmm.
That's Canadian thing.
Right. I didn't know they had their own radio station. That's interesting.
Yeah, CBC have like all these different, that they've got CBC classical, CBC pop or something. You just go to the radio and then drop down jazz, for instance, and you'll see CBC jazz there.
The CBC kind of reminds me of the BBC. You know, it's kind of that general public programming. And for us, it would be like PBS or NPR.
Your experience with the BBC is kind of tainted, though, because don't you have ads on BBC World? Do you get BBC World even?
No, the BBC World comes through our public radio, national public radio.
Yeah, the TV BBC World, not the World Service Radio. It's very confusing. There's a radio station called the World Service and a TV station that's just called BBC World.
No, I've never seen the TV station.
You've never seen the TV station.
I know it's on cable, and then there's BBC America.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they have ads or not.
Yeah, I know they have ads on BBC World because... you know, you go on holiday abroad and they've got BBC World and you go watch that. Because it'll be the only thing on in English.
So it doesn't have ads in the home country?
No, we don't get BBC World here. We get the same stuff kind of broken down. So we get the news from the news channel on BBC One, BBC Two, and so on.
That's interesting.
Confusing.
Yeah. Even our public stations in America have, they call them underwriters. So they're not really advertisers because they can't like sell something or promote something.
Right.
But they do give the public stations money, and then they just say this hour is, you know, sponsored by blah blah blah.
Yeah,
and it's very low key.
Mm.
And then they always
we don't have anything like that. It's all, yeah. It's the BBC is funded through the TV license, which is paid for TV and radio and any web stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to watch TV here, you've got to get a TV license and fund the BBC.
That's interesting. It's one of the reasons why I hate watching TV in general, is just because of so much advertising.
Mm.
So I don't even have cable service still.
Mm. So you don't even watch TV at your house?
No.
Or do you use ATSC?
I mean movies.
Right. So you just use the ATSC thing for that, where... I'm just talking gibberish.
Well, you're always talking gibberish, but especially in this instance.
Okay. Apparently most people in America don't know that you can watch HD TV without a cable fee through this ATSC system.
Oh yeah, yeah. If you grab onto the airwaves, yeah, it's still available.
Yeah.
It's like it used to be with your antenna. You know, you could put an antenna on the top of your house and get the basic stations, NBC.
Yeah, and you don't have digital terrestrial either, which is where you get digital, and I think you can even, yeah, I'm sure you can even get HD through this now. You can get digital stuff through the same aerial as you used to get your analog stuff.
Hmm. Yeah,
you don't have that there. See, no. This is one of the reasons why I think Apple won't do a TV. Because there's no system that's, you know, universal for television tuning. It's completely different over here to over there to in America. It's probably completely different in France to it is here.
Mm-hmm. And different philosophies too. You know, we have our way of doing television and, you know, the programs that come from you guys.
Yeah, but that's not if Apple was going to do a TV, they wouldn't really bother about, you know, what's on the actual channels, as long as you could actually reach the channels. It's just the technology used for broadcasting it.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we went through the transition a couple years ago where they switched over to digital broadcast, you know, so you couldn't... Well, you can still have antennas, but they work differently for something.
That we're doing kind of a staggered rollout over here, so analog signals got switched off over here last year in my part of the country, and the last place is going to change this, I think, is London. Because I think because there's so many people there, it's going to take a while to bring a lot more people over to digital.
Well, I'd think they would do that first.
Yeah, it does seem...
Well, that's why we don't make these decisions, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you do any video editing?
Very occasionally.
Hmm. I've been just kind of keeping up on this Final Cut Pro stuff. Because of how much I've been working in video the last couple years, and kind of, you know, see what the temperature of the water is.
Did you watch the Conan O'Brien thing?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, you haven't seen that yet. It's on Daring Fireball.
Right, yeah, I saw a link to it. But even he's joking about it.
Hmm.
It's pretty geeky. I know I've used, and I don't know, it's... I've used all kinds of video editing programs the last couple of years, and I've done professional movies on iMovie, you know, the new one. I've used the old iMovie. I've used Premiere from Adobe. And so the only ones I haven't used are Final Cut Pro and Avid.
Yeah, the only ones you haven't used are the ones that other people actually do use.
Right. The professional grade ones. I mean, some people use Premiere Pro. You know, they will. There are some movies and TV shows and stuff made on that, but but I've always been curious about Final Cut, and now I'm really curious to see, especially if I can pick up like the old copy or something, maybe cheaper.
Yeah.
I just wonder how it's all going to shake out. And
yeah, I think all the how did the group, the three main complaints, things that are something like things that are people were complaining about were features that were still there but have been moved, features that aren't there, and features that require a plugin.
Mm-hmm.
And because Final Cut Pro 10 doesn't do plugins, surprise, surprise, it's a Cocoa app, Cocoa apps don't do plugins.
Right.
They've cut off all these people who have, you know, quite possibly have massive investments in commercial plugins.
Is Aperture a Cocoa app? Because that has plugins.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Are the actual official plugins like a plugin interface, or is it just like hacks, input managers, and crap like that?
Well, this is where you're gonna catch me ignorant, but it seems like I've read about lots of there are plugins. Dozens of plugins, scripts.
Okay, you've just proved me wrong. But I did there's no. Just ignore me.
Okay.
I know you usually do.
But done and done. Well, but anyway, the thing that's interested me most about this thing is the levels of proficiency with video editing, and so what program you're going to use. You know, so the grammar, the mom who just wants to throw together a video, that's iMovie, and then you've got the movie maker, you know, Hollywood, you've got Final Cut Pro, and then you've got kind of that middle, like me, category who needs a little bit more advanced stuff, but not, you know, I don't use it every day. That's all I do.
Yeah.
And so that was Final Cut Express, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the Final Cut Pro 10 might be right for you then.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. But now there's no top end model.
Well, I don't think, I think they're trying to.
And I don't know about you, but I always kind of like the idea that the professionals who do this stuff for a living can go to an Apple product and use it to earn their living.
Yeah,
I mean, there's like a pride in that.
Yeah, but Aperture doesn't have a division between that, and plenty of pro photographers use Aperture, real professional photographers.
Right, which is why I'm so fascinated by this. So are the pros going to switch over to Final Cut Pro 10?
Well, they can't hang on to 7 forever. Right. For all we know, it might break with Lion.
Yeah, that's true. So, like, photography is good because there's editing stuff. So, you know, if you're just a beginner who doesn't need to do a whole lot, there's a lot you can do in, like, Preview or Acorn or something like that. And then Photoshop has Photoshop Elements for the person who is kind of in the middle. They need some more editing stuff, but they don't need the full-on version of Photoshop. And then the pros use Photoshop.
Yep.
So you've kind of got three levels of options there.
Yeah.
So Adobe has only the top two options. They've got Elements and Photoshop. So maybe that's what Apple's doing. They're just taking two out of the three categories, the bottom and the middle.
Mm.
you know, and then leaving the top end stuff. But see, I don't know. I just like the idea that Apple, if you do the stuff for a living, Apple has an option for you.
Yeah.
And they also sell a Macintosh for it, you know, the Mac Pro. Mm. It says, here you go. This is what you use if you're a professional with this stuff.
Yeah. I think what Apple did was with the iLife suite was really quite a clever marketing thing where it's they're trying to empower the amateur.
Right. Basically. It's the bicycle of the mind philosophy.
Yeah. So, but to empower you, their idea was, you know, here, do some stuff that only previously professionals could do.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do professional musicians do? Well, they record something and then they put it on CDs. Well, guess what? GarageBand, you can record it, you can edit it, and you can put it on a CD.
Mm-hmm.
iMovie, you know, what do professional filmmakers do? They make a film and they edit it and then you put it on a DVD. So with iMovie and iDVD, you can do that. And it was, you couldn't do that before at all.
Right. You can make a photo album with iPhoto.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, make a book.
Yeah, like a professional photographer, you can have your photography portfolio printed in a book.
Right. And it's not so detailed and powerful that you're going to get lost in it, but
yeah.
It still had enough levels of sophistication that you could be really creative with these free things that came when you bought a Macintosh.
Yeah.
Like I've been editing some photos with iPhoto here lately, just some quick edits, and it's wonderfully powerful. I mean, it's not pro style, but I mean, if you just want to do some quick edits to something, iPhoto works great. Mm. You know, it comes free with every Mac.
Yeah.
That's it. It just amazes me.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. All those little programs flesh out that philosophy that we're gonna help people be creative, and you don't have to know anything very special to do it.
Mm.
And you don't have to pay anything for it. You know, you just buy a Mac and you can do it.
Absolutely.
But then they say if you want to do some extra things, here are some stuff that you can buy.
Yeah.
And that's Aperture, Final Cut, even and pages logic. And numbers and things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Logic. But, you know, every Mac gets a basic word processing software that fulfills 90% of the world's needs. Right. But then if you want to go a little bit extra, you can buy pages.
Text edit isn't exactly the easiest thing to use, though, for word processing. If text edit's opening, then something's gone wrong. Then it's opened this file with the wrong app.
Right.
I want to maybe edit all pages. It's.
Or for the average user, you just need to make some text and make it bold and make a headline. You know, it does the job. So I don't know. It's just interesting. And I, you know, using iMovie, they got away from the timeline philosophy where it's like it harkens back to the old film days where, you know, it's laid out.
Apparently there's a mode to enable that in iMovie 11.
Oh, really?
Yeah, iMovie.
Yeah, I haven't checked that out. I'm still running 09, I think.
Right.
iMovie 09.
Yeah.
But that harkens back to the old film days where you had, you know, strips of film laid out. And it's all very sequential and you laid stuff over the top of it. And where iMovie, it takes scenes and you put together those scenes because there's the film philosophy is you don't need it anymore. Nobody films on film anymore.
Mm.
Look at this, I just got a magical article from the internet via random guy. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And one other thing that Final Cut users are complaining about is that the organization has been made like iMovies, where you organize these things by events.
Right.
Now, if you're shooting a feature film, then, you know, you're not shooting, you know, Joe's Bar Mitzvah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think the idea is, and events is not the best name for this, but I think the idea is that each event is either a plot point in a feature film, or maybe just a day of shooting.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got multiple days of shooting, then you would put the film from each of those days into an event.
But then, you know, some filmers film the last scene of the movie first.
Mm.
So I wonder how that works.
Yeah.
But I like...
It's not great.
Right. It could be, like you said, plot points where it'd be like chapters on the DVD. Mm. You know, each one of those could be an event, something like that.
I think it's. I think the code base for Final Cut is actually based on iMovie.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah. What it even kind of looks the same, where they've got the events and the little.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like a film strip. It's like little collections of shots that you take one at a time. And I wonder about things like asset management. Like, let's say you're doing something for a corporate client, you know, the kind of stuff I do, where you have an intro piece where you show the logo of the company and the title of the video, and then you go into the actual video, you know, how all that stuff's handled. And I would love to try this app out. I would love to try out Final Cut Pro, but which you can't anymore, right? I mean, is it offered for – I should have looked this up. But if it's on the Mac App Store, you can't try it out for 30 days like you could in the old days.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I might try Motion, the thing for creating like animations and stuff like that.
Right.
Computer animations.
It's like Adobe After Effects.
Yeah, a bit. Because that and the compress, I don't know, but that they're only £30 as opposed to 179. I don't know what that is in US.
It's like $500, something like that. But then I wonder if you could if you were to buy Motion and make something. Make a little transition piece or something, could you throw that into iMovie? Like, does it work with, you know, can you export it as a video file?
Yeah, say, I think you could, throw it into iMovie? Yeah, I think that would work.
I'm sure it would.
Yeah.
Because that's the other confusing thing about this whole video stuff is, like, file formats and video codecs and stuff like that. I cannot wrap my brain around a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. I just set quick time to encode it as iPad compatible or iPhone compatible at the maximum resolution.
Right.
That's
the thing, because like if you put something on YouTube or Vimeo or something, you want it widescreen. So then you have to worry about those dimensions, and then you know whether to make it 1080p or 720 or whatever. You have to worry about that. And then you have to worry about square pixels, and I don't know. The more I learn about this stuff, the more I'm just
my
brain has only enough room.
Yeah. I love that bit from Gruber the other day about how Kubrick shot his films at 4:3, but put masks on the kind of viewfinder so he would know how it would look in the cinema. Did you hear that in the Cut Talk Show? Have you listened to that yet?
Yeah.
I never knew that. But now whenever I watch a Kubrick film on my iPad, which does have a 4:3 aspect ratio, I want to watch it, you know, full frame.
Mm-hmm.
With the without the mask, and because the versions sold on iTunes are the cinema versions with the top and bottom cut off. You can't do that. There's no way to do that other than, I guess, getting a VHS from somewhere and transferring that and ripping that and doing all that.
And in which case, you're very dedicated.
Yeah.
Man, VHS. I can't imagine. So you got to watch License to Kill?
Yep.
And I liked your thought about the two Bond or the two Dalton movies being like the two Craig movies.
Yeah.
Where the first one is great and the second one's just ho-hum.
Mm.
That's a good thought.
Yeah. There were some things in License to Kill, though, like plot points that were just puzzling.
Such as?
Such as, well, I'll just, I can't remember the plot, actually.
That's the thing, after a while, a lot of these Bond movies run together. But yeah. I will say I did catch GoldenEye and
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yeah.
This past week. Have you seen GoldenEye yet?
No.
Okay.
Because they haven't talked about Last to Kill on the talk show yet.
Right.
Apparently they're getting Sandy on next time.
Oh, good.
Sandy.
Yeah, I'm way ahead then, because I'm going to watch Tomorrow Never Dies this week, and then Die Another Day probably next weekend.
Yeah.
And then I'll be right up to speed.
Yeah. Okay, why did Sanchez let Leiter live? To kick off, why didn't you just kill him?
I wonder if he thought he was dead. You know,
he was saying when he dipped him in the tank that, you know, Felix Leiter said, you know, see you in hell.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sanchez or whoever it was who was putting him in the shark tank said, no, I won't. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Like he intended to, like, wound him.
But you don't put somebody in a shark tank intending to wound them. I mean, I think it's just happenstance.
See if the screenplay is online.
If you throw somebody in a fish tank, or a shark tank, it's to kill them, not to injure them. Unless you shoot the shark that's eating them.
Yeah.
I just think the shark just didn't happen to eat him all, so he spit him back out, and then they grabbed him, and... Oh, that's how I took it.
Okay. Sanchez says no. Okay, Leiter says, killing me won't stop anything, Sanchez. He says, there are worse things than dying. Leiter replies, see you in hell. And Sanchez says, no, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Like he intended just to wound him, not to actually kill him.
I guess I didn't pick up on that. Yeah. But if that's the case, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Mm.
I wouldn't.
Also, when revokes Bond's license and he says, you know, you were given a mission and, you know, you're going out on this personal vendetta and yada yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
What was the mission, if not to kill Sanchez, which is what Bond was trying to do,
right? Or capture him. It was to capture him and
right,
and take him to the authorities, and then Sanchez pays off the one guy.
He had not tried to kill Sanchez. He was still going after him.
Right. Well, and then he takes him off because it's, you know, Leiter got eaten, so it becomes personal, and the wife dies. You know, the
yeah,
and so now Bond is emotionally involved in the thing.
Yeah,
and he says, "Well, you're just doing it for revenge now. You're not doing it as part of the mission." That's mm-hmm. what I would think. But I don't understand. So he tells him this, and your license is revoked or whatever. And then Bond hits the guys with the guns and jumps over the thing and runs away. And M says, "No, let him go. You know, Godspeed or whatever."
No, he said no. That's one point that he said he told them not to shoot because there were too many people, and there were too many people, and they would have hit them, and there'd have been panic and stuff.
Oh, right. But then it's like, oh, he got away, so, well, yeah. You know, good luck.
He said, God help him or something.
Yeah. But I like that. I like that, you know, Bond is actually going to do something. This is a personal thing, not just a mission.
Mm.
I wonder what
happened after Bond had done the mission when he went back to M.
Right.
Yeah. What did M say to him?
So mission accomplished. Do I get my license back?
Yeah.
but I love the way like Othello, he kind of goes in there and sows the seeds of you know, deception against Sanchez, and he makes him not trust his own people.
Mm. Yeah,
because of what he knows. So I like the mind games that he was playing. I think that shows an intelligence that in a craftiness that a lot of the other Bond movies haven't showed.
Mm.
Like psychological games. I don't know. I like the movie. I just liked it.
Yeah.
And Wayne Newton is in it. I mean, come on. Bless your heart.
Yeah.
Which I say
that guy was freaky. That was one of the bad points of the movie. He just sounded like I don't know. He sounded like somebody who would be parodied in You Look Nice Today.
Right.
I was actually thinking, haven't you, like, You Look Nice Today kind of parodied this guy?
Probably. But I'm finding all these catchphrases in Bond movies that I've been using for years, and I thought they came from somewhere else. Like whenever I do something stupid and risky and somebody tells me about it and I always say, well, you only live twice. Like, I don't know where I got that from, but then I watch the movie, You Only Live Twice. But then I always say, bless your heart. You know, if somebody does something nice for me, I'm always, oh, bless your heart. You know, and I thought it was a Southern thing because Southern people say that.
Yeah.
But maybe it was this movie.
No, I think the Southern thing inspired this movie rather than the other way around.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just funny how all the little catchphrases I have are related to Bond somehow.
What's going on when Sanchez is in kind of his office in Isthmus City? And that he's watching this fundraiser on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be directing this fundraiser.
Yes.
Is he like sending messages to people about how much he's raised? Is that the idea?
Right, because drug dealers on the other, like in the United States, are watching this and then they're reading it for clues.
Right.
And then so Wayne Newton says, you know, oh, they've given $100,000 or whatever. Then they know that means drugs are worth so much and that's how much they're going to get charged.
Right. So if anybody does actually call up to donate,
they'll take it.
I'd just put a busy tone on the line.
No, but that's the thing. Like, Wayne Newton's organization is corrupt. They would, of course, they would take the donation.
Yeah,
it's money. You know, that guy is not going to turn down $1,000.
Wouldn't they think of something better to ship the cocaine in than petrol? Because surely they're going to pay a massive import tax on petrol.
Yeah, maybe it's worth it. Maybe that's the cost of doing business.
Yeah, I mean, you could dissolve it in, you know, milk or something like that, and that was something without an import tax.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, because if the border guard takes a big swig of your milk and then, you know, he doesn't know his own name, then you're going to figure something's up.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not saying milk in particular, just something that doesn't happen. Yeah.
Something to do with chemistry and boiling with it. So
anyway, that's enough of that.
I'm interested to see what they're going to say about it on the talk show because I don't know, it's near and dear to my heart. And I did end up liking GoldenEye, and I remember.
Oh, how could you not like GoldenEye?
Right.
I guess if you remember it as being Pierce Brosnan's first movie after being introduced to Timothy Dalton's Bond, then you're not gonna be. Particularly huge.
No, but I do remember what a big deal it was and how, and I remember thinking I really like this movie. But there were things that now that since I watched all these Bond movies that you pick up on, you know. Mm. Like there's a musical, and you'll see this when you watch it, but there's a musical choice that they make in that movie that really bothers me. But other than that, the movie is great.
Are you going to give me any hints about that?
I'll just see if you notice. Just remember music and see if you notice something's missing.
I despise guessing games.
Don't you hate it when people do that?
Yeah. Do you like that line in the Lion King? I despise guessing games.
Right. Have you ever seen GoldenEye?
Yes. Yes. A long time ago.
All right.
I've seen all of it.
It's not something you'll remember. Once.
Yeah.
Well, you're smart enough. You'll notice it.
Yeah, the most recent one was The World Is Not Enough, which was on the TV a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched it. And
that's one I don't remember anything about.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I thought the volcano, you know, and You Only Live Twice, the volcano base?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was from Goldfinger.
Oh.
I got really, really confused. There was elements in The World Is Not Enough which I remembered, but I thought they were in GoldenEye.
Hmm. I don't remember a thing about that movie, except Denise Richards.
Yeah.
How terrible she was. Pretty girl.
Okay, that was Dr. Christmas Jones.
Right.
Boy. There is one. Do you remember? Okay, I won't spoil. Have you seen it? You haven't seen it?
Not in a while.
Okay, remind me. Cool scene, Russian, The World Is Not Enough. Just remind me about that when you've seen it.
Okay. So then you've got something to remember and I've got something to remember.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But man, now I'm going to be really excited for the new Bond movie when it comes out.
Mm. Yeah, once we've seen all these, man.
Yeah. It's like watching all the Star Wars in a row and then wait for the... Well, but then you're horribly disappointed when you actually see it.
Yeah.
It was a pretty big deal back in the 90s when Lucas re-released all the Star Wars and put them back in the theaters, you know? But then he messed them all up by putting those... by putting all those computer-animated graphics in there. Yeah. But still, to go to the theater and to be able to say, I'm watching Star Wars in the theater.
Yeah, I watched Finding Nemo the other night with my sister. And do you believe it's nearly 10 years old?
Oh, my gosh.
It's 8 years old.
Yeah. I just watched a documentary on Pixar. And yeah, they reminded me that... Monsters, Inc. Film. I mean, you know, how old is Monsters, Inc.?
Yeah, they're old, right?
And A Bug's Life. I never think about A Bug's Life.
I think watching Finding Nemo, I think it was the first time my sister really appreciated the fact that an old movie is not necessarily a bad film.
Right.
As you know.
Why, to her is 10 years
age,
old.
Age doesn't necessarily affect quality.
Right. Yeah, you grow out of that.
Yeah.
Man, I'm getting old. All my friends are getting old, too. It's crazy. Mm. You just wait, young whippersnapper. Anything else going on in the world?
Mm.
That we would care about?
Mm.
Tell me about your new MacBook. How did this come about?
Well, my PowerBook is unfortunately it's pretty much dead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not dead. It managed to stay alive for about a minute and a half after you turn it on, and it just dies. Power goes.
Even if it's plugged in?
Yep, plugged in, unplugged. I've tried. The only thing I haven't tried is a battery swap. And I don't think it's the battery. Because I pulled the battery out and just ran it from main straight, and it still did it.
Yeah. That's how I run my iBook now, is just without the battery. It doesn't even recognize the battery anymore. So dead.
Yeah.
So a power supply problem? Could you replace the power supply?
You know what? It's just not worth trying to replace anything in a 12-inch power book, I don't think.
Mm. Well, you get some use out of it.
I could probably take it apart, but I couldn't. I wouldn't want to put it back together.
Right.
And this is a man who took apart his iMac G3 to such an extent that he could replace the hard drive, which is not easy.
Right. But kind of fun.
Yeah.
After you get the plastic shell off, that's the tough part.
Mm.
And get it out of there. So anyway, well, what are you getting? What's your new
MacBook Pro with 15-inch one, the low-end 15-inch one, but with a high-res screen, built-to-order high-res screen. Pissing me off that is built-to-order and they don't have it on quick customize. So you can't just order one with a high-res screen and get it delivered straight away. You still have to go through the whole process of getting it made at the factory and waiting 2 weeks for it to come from China.
Hmm.
But, you know, it's worth it for the extra pixels.
So is that the i5 then? Or i7?
i7. Yeah, the specs are on the blog post.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at it now. But you're going to love it. You're going to love this Mac. Those 15-inch MacBook Pros are, I say it again and again, but I think it's the most beautiful computer I've ever laid eyes on and used. I mean, they're just so wonderful to use.
Well, iMac G4?
Yes. I mean, that's gorgeous to look at, you know.
Yeah. But design is how it works.
But to actually carry around and...
Yeah.
Right. But the structure of this thing and the way it performs and it's just so solid. You know, you close it up and you carry it around and you could kill somebody with it. I mean, the Bond could use this as a weapon if he wanted to.
But it's not made out of titanium.
Right, not yet. Did you get the glossy screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I like the glossy screen. Or at least I don't mind it.
Right, I like it too.
I have seen it outside the context of an Apple store on other people, so...
Yeah. Did you go for the faster hard drive, the 7200?
No, the only thing I customized was the screen.
Oh. Well, if I were to order one right now, I don't know. You got 4 megabytes of RAM?
4 gigabytes.
Yeah,
gigabytes. You said 4 megabytes.
That too. So mine, if I were to order one right now with the faster hard drive and the high-res screen, would be about $2,000.
Yeah. American.
Right, $2,000 American.
And I've got a little bit of follow-up on that. Last week we were talking about the back-to-school promotion, which I've actually taken advantage of here.
Oh, yeah.
The gift card, they don't stop you using it in the iTunes store or any other... you know, store that takes iTunes credit. So that the idea that it's a Mac App Store gift card is really just it's just a front for the fact that it's a regular iTunes gift card.
Right. So could you use it in the Apple Store then?
No.
Okay. No.
You can't use the iTunes. I don't think you can. Maybe you can. I don't know.
It's interesting that you can add Aperture 3 to the order, pre-installed, and it costs $199.
It costs the same as the boxed copy.
Right.
I mean, I pity the poor people who have that installed and then go to the iMac App Store and go, I just spent $180.
That's bad. And then you probably don't even get the disc for it.
Yeah, you do.
You do?
Yeah, but you can only use the disc on the computer like all the other discs ship with it.
Right. Although sometimes I've gotten around that on some of the older versions of OS X and OS 9 and things like that. I've installed those system discs on other
Macs. Yeah, there are weird exceptions.
Yeah. But the new ones, no, they're very specific.
Mm.
Which is too bad.
I wonder what they're going to ship with computers when now that with Lion now that they've gone all App Store for OS distribution. Will they ship CDs?
Yeah.
Or USB pens?
Like what do you think?
Yeah.
And then I wonder
actually,
how...
I think I know the answer to that question because I think Lion puts a recovery partition on your hard drive with like a basic install of the OS. Okay. Just enough to run the installer.
Because that's what I was going to say. If your system gets corrupted, like if your file system or permissions or whatever get corrupted and you have to restart the Mac and go into... you know, utility mode or whatever. And it used to be you would start up from the CD and then fix your disk from there. But how are you going to do it? It must be the partition thing, right?
There's also a second bit of follow-up. Last week we also wondered how the Lion installer would actually work. Would it reboot? And I think I know the answer because I read Thomas Brand's article on how to burn a Lion boot disk. And my guess is that it resizes your main partition and makes enough room on your hard disk for the installer, then boots up from the installer from your hard disk.
Hmm. That'd make me a little bit nervous, messing with hard drive like that.
Mm.
I mean, I know on the Mac you can repartition things on the fly.
Yeah, it's the same thing they do when you install Windows using boot camp. They just, you know, right. Go whoop and shrink your Mac OS partition.
How does that go?
Sorry?
How does that go? What's it sound like?
Whoop. Yeah. It's like this Skype signing in noise.
We could just have a sound effect show.
That'd be great. We'll do it next week. Next
it would be like it would be
next
like
show. We'll do a video. We'll do a video version of the show, and it'll be just us doing sound effects.
Right. It'd be like two R2s talking with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. I'm excited for your new Mac. And then, so this will be the newest one you've had since the Mac Mini you've been working on, right?
Yeah. And don't ask me what I'm going to do with this, because I have no idea. I wonder if Tom... Yeah, but Tom's probably listening, so I don't have to go to the trouble of tweeting at him, because that would be so much work. Tom, do you want this Mac Mini back? Because I don't really need it anymore.
I've thought about giving one of the older Mac Minis, you know, the older style before they made them ugly, and hooking it up to my TV. No, I don't like the new ones. No. But I thought about hooking it up to my TV, and that way I could watch like my iTunes stuff on my TV. But the only thing is the older ones don't have the HDMI cable, so I'd have to do like a workaround.
Yeah, you get an adapter. Mini display port adapter or a DVI adapter.
Right. That whistles. Yeah. Sounds just like that. Yeah, why not? I'd love to find one with a Leopard disc, too, if I could find one.
Mm.
Yeah, that's another thing I've been searching for.
You don't have a Leopard disk.
It's the only version of Mac OS X I don't have is the Leopard.
They might still sell you one if you ask.
Who's they?
Apple. If you phone them up and you'd be really, really, really persuasive, they might still sell you one.
I think you're crazy. No way. Why would they do that?
Well, I think for people with PowerPC Macs, they'll still sell you the OS X Leopard.
Yeah, right. Here's what they would tell you. Buy a new Mac. And you can quote me on that.
Okay.
That's what Apple would say. Oh, you've got a G4 or a G5? Oh, that's neat. You know what you ought to do?
Gotta buy a new Mac.
Gotta buy a new Mac. That's what they would say.
You know, this is the first Mac I've had from you. As in not.
Yeah, isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
I guess I've had two new Macs. My first one, my iBook G4, and then the iMac I've got now.
Yeah,
but I've also got my 15-inch MacBook Pro for work.
Yeah.
That I bought new.
So that's three, really.
Yeah. But then a whole bunch of others that have not been even close to being new.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much credibility that earns me, but not as much as Damien Ward.
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, he went to an Apple store opening today. Did you see?
Mm-hmm.
The Reading Apple store. I'll link the photos. I think he just did a grand tour of the country, Apple store openings.
Right. That's the first thing I do when I stop into a new city is stop by the Apple store and take my picture with one of the Macs inside.
Yeah. I think you posted about that, didn't you?
Yep. It's kind of like people buy souvenirs when they go, you know, on trips. They get a shot glass or a coffee mug or something.
I get
pictures.
Yeah, Apple Store photos.
Right. That's my souvenir. Sometimes with coffee in my hand. Sometimes being dragged out by security.
Yeah.
It's a good time. When I did go to Minneapolis, though, a couple weeks ago, the Apple store in town is kind of out in the suburbs, and so I didn't have time to go out there. But next time I will.
Yeah. Can I have bird song?
I've got real bird song out my window right now. They're going crazy. So next time we talk, we're going to have to do some Mario Karting.
Yeah, and sound effects and video.
That's right. We're playing Mario Kart, we're swearing, and we're videotaping the whole thing.
Yeah.
But we're swearing in beeps and boops.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could not watch that.
Yeah. Have you got Kind of Bloop?
No, I haven't.
No.
Did you?
Album. Yeah, I got it quite a while ago. Terrible. What this guy has done.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I mean, alright, if, you know, I wouldn't mind if he just said, you know, this is my photo, you know, take it down. But the fact that he asked for more money than he had actually raised from Kickstarter.
Right.
It's just terrible.
Well, so is the album listenable? Like, is it something that I feel like listening to this, and then you'll turn it on?
Yeah, of course. It wouldn't buy it otherwise.
Right. Maybe I'll preview it and see what it's all about. Because you're right, I do want to help out Andy Bio. It's
kind of thing. Kindofbloop.com, I think, is where the previews are.
Right.
Because it's not on iTunes.
Right.
My favorite tracks I think my favorite track is All Blues. And then maybe Freddie Freeloader, Flamenco Sketches, because they're the ones that are not just transfers from the originals. Like, they actually added more stuff to the songs, and it's just on the original Kind of Blue album.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, you convinced me. I'll do it.
Mm.
I'll try it.
It's only $5.
Yeah. Only.
Mm.
All right, sir. I'm gonna go play outside some more.
Okay.
On this beautiful summer day.
Yep.
Season two.
Yep, it's just completely clouded over here now. There's nothing.
Episode cloudy.
Cloudy. iCloud. Cloud in the sky.
Hi, Cloud. Cloudy.
Cloud. Record. Record.
Record. Record. Roll.
Raffle, raffle, raffle.
We're just saying words at this point.
Right. Beeps and bloops next time, folks. I know you're excited. That'll be episode 4. Just like that, but with cursing and Mario Kart.
Yep.
All right.
Boop.
I'm Dave Lawrence.
Boop.
That's my friend R2 Kendall.
You can find us at helloshow.net, and there's links to our sites on there. Right.
All right. See you next time, David.
Bye.
Bye.